Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
God is not distant and God is not indifferent. And Psalm 23 shows us that the Lord draws near to us to provide, to guide, to protect, and finally to bring us home. Most people do not struggle to believe that God is powerful. We struggle to believe that he is close, especially when life gets dark, when prayers feel unanswered, or when the soul feels more like a bruised reed than a conquering saint. And Psalm 23 meets us right there. It is a familiar psalm, but it is not shallow. It is not a decorative psalm for calm moments. It is a psalm built for real life, the kind with enemies, shadows, fatigue, and fear. It gives us three scenes like a small drama. First, the sheep and the shepherd. King David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David begins with God's covenant name, the Lord, the I am, the one who is self-sufficient, faithful and unchanging. And then he places that name next to the lowly work of shepherding, which is exactly his point. The God who needs nothing chooses to take responsibility for those who have nothing without him. Sheep are not impressive creatures. I look at Jonathan straight away. They do not have sharp claws, strong teeth, or clever instincts. They wander. They panic. They get stuck. I don't know if you've seen that video going around on the internet with a sheep stuck in, I don't know if it's like a gully, they've dug it out to get some, for the channel water. And the sheep gets stuck in it. And these good folk go along and they pull the sheep out. And the sheep runs off in its joy. And 100 metres down the road, jumps back into the same gully hole. I don't think they are the most intelligent animals, but they sure are tasty. Lamb is my favourite, sorry. As the background material reminds us, in the ancient Near East, sheep were essentially helpless without a shepherd. That is part of the metaphor. David is saying, I am not self-made. I am cared for. I am kept. So what does the closeness of God look like in ordinary days? And remember, David was a shepherd himself. He knows what it's like to be looking after those sheep. So these words come from his experience and him understanding who God is. Well, David tells us, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Green pastures are not only food, they are rest, coolness, and safety. Still waters are not stagnant. They are waters of stillness, quiet enough to drink from, calm enough to settle the nerves. The shepherd is close enough to notice what the sheep needs and strong enough to provide it. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That is not theoretical help. It is present and it is near. You know, when we hear about green pastures, we can get to our quintessentially English mindset and think of these beautiful green rolling hills like we have around here. It wasn't like that in the time in the Near East. There was only a few tufts of grass here and there. But the shepherd knew where they were and led those sheep through many barren places to get to that food. It might be scarce, but the shepherd knows where to take us. And then David writes, he restores my soul. Restoration is not self-improvement. It is rescue and renewal. Self-improvement, which we can buy so many books on Amazon today to help ourselves, is sometimes only surface level, superficial. But restoration goes down to our soul. God rescues us and he renews us. Some of us need to hear that word today. It is possible to be a believer and still feel cast down. Theologian Philip Keller's picture of a cast sheep is painfully vivid. The sheep rolls onto its back, cannot get up. Panic makes it worse. And without the shepherd, it will die. There are moments when the soul feels like that. We have done it to ourselves through sin, which is those things that will separate us from God. Or it can happen to us as well through suffering or the weight of life that has simply tipped us over. Psalm 23 does not shame the sheep. It celebrates the shepherd. He restores. He turns us over off our backs, off our helplessness, onto our feet, to be able to guide us once again. Think of Peter after his denial of Jesus. He is not restored by a lecture. He is restored by Jesus' presence and his question, do you love me? And then the commission, feed my sheep. The shepherd restores broken shepherds too. Then David tells us, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God's closeness is not only comfort, it's direction. Sometimes the most loving thing God does is to refuse to let us stay lost. The writer of Proverbs says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. It's not always easy. Those paths cannot always be straight. But straight paths that God makes are right paths. Paths that make sense to him, even when we don't yet see everything on our own map. The second scene that we see is the traveller and the companion. As David writes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is the turning point up until now. It is he. And now it becomes you. So in the first part, David was talking about God, and now he talks about you. Many commentators notice this shift because it is spiritual realism. And the valley does that. When the light goes, theology becomes prayer. Reporting becomes clinging. And the valley is not imaginary. In the ancient world, it could be a ravine, dark, narrow, with predators and danger. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan. The psalm is honest about threat. Notice what David does not say. He does not say, I will not go through valleys. He does not say, the valley is actually fine. He says, I will not fear. Not because I am brave, but because you, God, are with me. This is where the theme lands. The God who is close goes with us through the darkest valleys. But because he is close, we don't avoid those valleys. And David writes, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod was a club, the staff a support, a tool for guidance. Comfort here is not merely sympathetic words, it is concrete protection. Psalm 56 says, when I am afraid, I trust in you. Not if I am afraid, but when I am afraid. And why can he trust? Because God is with him. The writer of Hebrews echoes that covenant promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you are in a valley today, a dark place, the promise is not that you will feel strong. The promise is that you are not alone. And then the third scene, the guest and the host. David writes, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The enemies have not disappeared. The danger is not gone. Yet the table is set. That is a bold image. It is God saying, you will eat, you will live, you will be sustained, even while the threat exists. It is the opposite of living on the edge. It is the peace of Psalm 4, where the psalmist writes, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And David writes, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. In the ancient world, oil was hospitality. It was welcome, refreshment, and honor when you went to visit someone's house. Jesus even rebuked Simon the Pharisee for neglecting this basic act of care. God is not a reluctant host. He is lavish. My cup overflows is not bare survival. It is grace upon grace. The psalm is teaching us that God's closeness is not only crisis management, it is communion. It is his presence and his abundance. And then the psalm ends with a strange but glorious reversal. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Hebrew idea is not gentle training, it is pursuit. The psalm pictures goodness and steadfast love chasing you down. Many of us live as if trouble pursues us. David says, no, something else is chasing you. The loyal love of God, the covenant kindness of God, the God who is close, does not merely wait at the finish line. He runs you down with mercy. And David tells us in this beautiful verse, the end which we all wait for, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whether we take this dwelling or returning again and again, the point is that it is home. It's not drifting, it's not exile, it is home with God. And this is where we bring in John 10 that we've just heard. Jesus does not merely use the shepherd metaphor. He takes it on as his identity. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep, he tells us. This is the deepest meaning of the God who is close. God has not come near to us in comfort. He has come near to us in cost. A hired hand runs when the wolf comes. Jesus does the opposite. He steps towards the danger. He lays down his life. Psalm 23 says, "You are with me in the valley." John 10 tells you how far that actually goes. The shepherd enters the darkest valley of all, the valley of sin, judgment, and death. A hired hand runs when the wolf comes. Jesus does the opposite. He steps towards the danger. He lays down his life. Psalm 23 says, "You are with me in the valley." John 10 tells us how far that goes. The shepherd enters the darkest valley of all, the valley of sin, judgment, and death. And he walks it, not as a confused sheep, but as a willing saviour. Isaiah 53 says, "Are we all like sheep who have gone astray?" And then it says that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is the shepherd carrying the sheep home, not only on a shoulder, but on a cross. And then Jesus tells us, "I know my own, and my own know me." God's closeness is personal. It's not generic. He knows names. He knows wounds. He knows what we are all like. And he still chooses to keep us. If your fear today is not only that life is hard, but that you might not hold on, hear Jesus in John 10, earlier in the chapter. He says, "No one will snatch them out of my hand." The closeness of God is not fragile. And Jesus adds, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. The shepherd's closeness is missionary. He gathers outsiders. He brings in the far off. Paul says in Ephesians, "You once were far off, and you have been brought near by the blood of Christ." This is the gospel in one sentence. Far off, brought near, blood. So when Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd," and when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," the Christian confession is that God, who is close, has shown his nearness most closely at the cross. And now he makes the nearness real again by his Holy Spirit. Paul writes in Romans 8, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." The shepherd does not only walk beside us, he puts his life within us. Let me give you a picture. There's an old line often attributed to Charles Spurgeon, and even if we cannot pin the exact wording down, the truth still stands, that this psalm has dried many tears. Let's think about that for a second. Tears are small. They are personal. They are not abstract. A doctrine can be true and still feel far away when you're crying in the car or lying awake at night or sitting in the silence after bad news. Psalm 23 is not trying to win an argument. It is trying to keep you from despair by bringing you back to the nearness of God. And here is a simple, true pastoral observation. In moments of joy, many of us speak about God. In moments of fear, we speak to him. That's exactly what happens in this psalm. The valley turns theology into prayer. The shadow turns explanation into dependence. That shift from he to you is not a literary trick. It is the language of faith under pressure. So how do we live this out today? Well, here's three invitations. First, stop measuring God's closeness by your feelings. Sheep can be surrounded by fog and still be near the shepherd. The valley is a literal shadow. Shadows distort. They make distances feel longer than they are. If you are in a season where God feels far, Psalm 23 does not scold you. It anchors you. You are with me. Closeness is promised, not always felt. Second, let the shepherd lead, even when the path is not what you would choose. As David writes, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sometimes our great temptation is to grab the steering wheel, but sheep do not need control. They need trust. If you are facing a decision, pray Psalm 25, where the psalmist writes, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. The shepherd does not only comfort, he directs. And thirdly, make the cross your proof in the valley. When you cannot read your circumstances, read Christ. John 10 says the shepherd will lays down his life. And Romans 5 says, God shows you his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you want evidence that Christ is close, that God is close, do not start your week. Start with Calvary. The God who is close has scars. And if you would not yet call yourself a Christian, here's the honest edge of the psalm. You cannot borrow the Lord is my shepherd as a general comfort without meeting the shepherd himself. Jesus calls you not to admire him, but to follow him. The doorway into the flock is trust. The shepherd has already done the saving. Your part is to come. So hear the word of the Lord today. If you are in green pastures, do not forget the shepherd. If you are in the valley, do not believe the lie that you are alone. If enemies are loud, remember God can set a table in their presence. And if you are weary, remember this. The shepherd is not only ahead of you, he is with you. And his goodness and steadfast love are pursuing you all the days of your life until the day you are finally home. Amen.